Isaiah 57 for a first reading, please. Isaiah 57. Thank you, Paul, so much. We're going to read it, verse 15 of Isaiah 57. First of three readings, go next to the New Testament for two. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth or angry, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him, hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Ephesians, please, in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to commence reading, please, at verse number 11 of Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember, in other words, keep constantly in mind the precious truth stated. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. A last reading, please, in Romans chapter 5. If you're tired today, you don't even have to look it up. It's just verse 1. And I think you know it already. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is before me today, and thank you, Paul, so much for doing this. What's before me today is really quite simple. It's also quite a profound thing to think through. We are living in strange days, aren't we? And it's not getting any better. In fact, it's obviously getting worse. And I remember seeing something just this last week. It's what's prompted this. A passing comment from a pundit on one of the news channels. And it was one of these particular days this week where There had been a lot of happenings around the world, certainly here too, but they began actually looking at Chicago with all of the shootings that take place there daily, but especially over the weekends. And they were talking about Chicago, and then they moved to London, and they moved to the recent spate of violence in Canada, most unusual, as our Canadian friends here today will know. And they were going around, and there was this one man, I don't know his name, I can kind of picture him right now, and he looked at the TV camera and he said, I have a very simple question to ask. Should we expect to live peaceful lives in a very unpeaceful world? Hit me. It really did. I thought it was quite a question. It's unusually introspective for members of the press, I think, to ask a question like that. And so, of course, I am a Christian, and that's my whole worldview. And it's my eternal view. And the words of Christ and those that preceded him are the words that not only fomented my view, but they cement it to this very day. And I will unashamedly and unabashedly say that everything about me I see through rose-colored glasses that are the Lord and his word, because that's what I can trust. And so as soon as that man said that, I actually hit the rewind 10 seconds and I went back. And I listened to the sentence or so that set up his answer, and there it was again. As he looked at three or four colleagues around a glass table, and he said, "But seriously, do any of you think that we really have a right to expect to live peaceful lives in a very unpeaceful world?" So there is a part of you that can sit back and ask that question. You'll say to yourself, A, that's a little cynical. B, it's also a little helpless and hopeless, if that's what it's come to. Should we have a right to peace? Our founding documents in this nation, 240 plus years ago, stress the word peace over and over again. But even shortly after our nation was born and forged a nation because of tyranny and a war in which many were killed, many were wounded, there wasn't that long before we were back into war again. So from a Christian perspective today, here's my question. Should we honestly expect to live in peace in the middle of a very unpeaceful world? I say 100% yes. 100% yes. But not the normal way of saying 100% yes. Because there are Christians today that are living peaceful lives, but every once in a while there is still human terror, and it's real. And here we are, while we're in this building, everybody sitting on this side for whatever reason, while we sit here in this lopsided auditorium, in air-conditioned comfort with lights on, there are people that are sitting in dank, damp, moldy, dark, stinky prisons right now in parts of the world, and they have been tortured for their faith in Christ. Do they have a right to feel peace? And we would say, well, not knowing who the next person will be that will open their cell door, and it may be their executioner, that's not exactly a place where you would expect the peace of God to rule. But too many stories tell us that the peace of God can come, and does, in the hardest of times. where we began reading in Isaiah 57, it's just a pretty, it's a pretty remarkable verse. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. And there's one of the ironies, because there are countries today where they have never known war. There are isolated countries that have just been spared from all of that stuff. And their citizens are largely protected, and they're happy, and they're taken care of. In some instances, through certain socialistic tendencies, they're taken care of from the cradle to the grave. And I think of Sweden. You ever been there? Gorgeous place. Beautiful people. Pretty girls and handsome men. And the average Swede now is only working 32 hours a week. And everything's taken care of for them. From birth until death, their massively high tax rates take care of everything. Shouldn't that be a prescription for peaceful, happy existence? Guess which country on earth has the highest suicide rate? Sweden. In our neck of the woods, here in the States, people think of the Pacific Northwest as kind of cool and laid back, and it's where all the big technology companies and Microsoft and all of those places, it's where their founders were born and raised, and the whole part of Washington and Oregon and certainly parts of California. It's just very easygoing, laid back, bright, kind of come to work when you want and leave whenever you want, as long as you do your thing. You can stay there all night. There's security guards. And if you want to take the day off and work at night, just do whatever you want to do. Just come and go and work. And it's all neat. And Starbucks comes from there. And all of these sort of things. And everybody thinks of our Pacific Northwest as hippies that grew up. Guess which state in the United States has the highest suicide rate? Washington. So what's number two? Oregon. My friends, it's a lack of peace. It's a lack of peace. And so in these supposedly nirvana areas are people who evidently know little of peace. There was a poet and an author by the name of S.D. Gordon, and I've got to read this to you. He wrote this on the peace of God, and every time I've read it, I just love it. How many thousands of lips have lingered lovingly over those sweet, strong words? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. That's the Revised Version. It's God's peace. Listen, it acts as an armed guard drawn up around heart and thoughts to keep unrest out. It is too subtle for intellectual analysis, but it steals into and steadies the heart. You cannot understand it, but you can feel it. I love this line. You cannot get hold of it with your head, but you can with your heart. You do not get it. It gets you. You need not understand in order to experience. Blessed are they that have not understood and yet have yielded and experienced the peace of God. Wow, people always have looked for governments to provide peace. You know that, right? It's one of the things that a benevolent government should do, is set the stage, both internationally and domestically, so that its citizenry can live with at least a measure of peace. That's what government should do. Well, how's that working out today? Not always the best. We live in a day of peace talks. I do give Mr. Trump 100% credit for any opening with North Korea that has taken place. I'm very grateful that 60, 70, 75 years later, there are human remains of American citizens that are coming back to the United States. I was warmed in my heart last weekend to see that first exchange of North and South, where the Koreas. That, did you see that video of that one old woman that hadn't seen her son in 51 years? Holy. If you didn't bawl like a baby watching that happen, folks, you don't have nerves. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that the nuclear tests now, 9.5 months since the last one, I'm grateful. Is it going the way that people wanted or hoped? No. But I think it's probably going the way a lot of people expected, maybe including this administration. Look, folks, peace talks are only peace talks if both want peace. And denuclearization talks are only going to be successful if both sides want the same thing. And in this day of peace talks, the U.S. Department of State right now on their website, if you follow all of the little highlighted in blue rabbit trails, there's 28 hotspot areas of the world right now where there are wars going on, where they actually are warning U.S. citizens to not go because it's dangerous in a day of peace talks. Some of them are small. They're little tribal or ethnic skirmishes. But I'll guarantee you, if you live there, they probably don't feel small. There's drought in one part of a country, and there's flooding in another. And there's famine in some countries. And here in the U.S., 82% of the crops we raise are sold to other countries, feeding large portions of the world. And people, 58%, they say, of the world will go to bed hungry tonight because they don't have the money to buy our exports, so we sell them to the higher bidders. Sad. The greatest barrier to peace is not governments. It's not corrupt leaders. It's not corrupt financial ministers. It's nothing to do with that, only indirectly. The largest barrier to peace, the main reason why God's word says there's no peace, says God, to the wicked, is the human heart. That's the greatest barrier to peace. And he said, there is no peace to the wicked. And so what he really says here is, it's not just that there's no peace. There shouldn't be an expectation of peace. We shouldn't live expecting it, praying for it, sure. But expecting it, probably not. Because the human heart doesn't know it. And that is true with an individual, and it can be true with an entire nation or a society or a pocket within a nation and the like. And so you would ask yourself, okay, what is peace? If you look it up in the dictionary, the first part of the definition that I came up with is freedom from fear. Wow, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Freedom from fear. Now look, I don't know what's happened over the last 3 weeks. Have you ever seen Mr. and Mrs. Weeks, undoubtedly the oldest here with us, who have lived in this county the longest? Have you ever seen a couple of weeks with this much violence? I never have. 20-some years here. I've never seen anything even close. I remember decrying when it came to reading the Sun News or turning on the evening news, and we got to a murder every month. And sometimes you would sit back and you would say, well, a lot of them are committed by people who aren't from around here. And I would take some little consolation in that. And then it became every 2 weeks. And then just in the last year or so, every week you read of something. Maybe Robeson County above the border from Fayetteville down and Tabor City, Chadburn. It may be there down right through Georgetown. But the last 2 weeks, it's been almost daily. Almost daily. And you say, what on earth is going on? What's causing this? And that dear man across from Aberdeen, where Mitch and Sharon live, just down the road there on 9, it's 10:30 at night, and this man and his wife that evidently just totally adore one another. And he's sitting in a parking lot at 10:30 so that she doesn't have to drive home alone, and men come up to steal his car and kill him, shoot him in the head and kill him. And you say to yourself, why? It's the human heart. It's deceitful above everything. It's desperately wicked. Who can ever know it? Freedom from fear. Well, look, the world's never going to be perfect, but I sure hope that our authorities and some of the federal alphabet agencies that are in town right now, especially the ATF, the Bureau of ATF, I hope that they can bring to us again a little bit more of the freedom of fear. Because there are people that are scared to leave their homes in certain parts of the county. Freedom from fear, freedom from worry, and freedom from disturbance. I found one definition of peace, and I loved it. You know what it was? One word. Tranquility. Tranquility. Loved it. The wicked are like a troubled sea, Isaiah wrote. Now, you know what happens when a sea is troubled. We have people here who are marine folks. They are engineers and the like. I've spent, I guess, somewhere around 8 years of my life in the islands. And it can look absolutely calm on the surface. But when there's an undertow underneath, all you have to do is put on a mask and a snorkel with fins. You don't even have to put your tanks on. And you go under and the visibility is nothing. Why? Because the ocean, the sea, has gotten stirred up by something. And so Isaiah says the wicked are like that. They're like a troubled sea, and everything is stirred up. It's getting kicked up, and it makes things murky. And the bottom gets disturbed. And there's all kinds of reasons for it. The biggest one is just good old moral transgression. We are sinners, and we practice it. Selfishness, no peace, no peace, no hope of it, no promise of it, because there's no means toward it for those that don't know Christ. And so I want to pause just for a moment today and ask a question of everyone here. Do you know the peace of God? Do you know that flooding, settled peace that comes? Even in the most unusual of circumstances. I am almost never personal like this when I talk. But I have to now. But the most disturbed night of my life was the night that we were told that Carol, my late wife, probably only had a couple weeks to live. I need to tell you that was an awful, 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 awful night. I went out in the woods in Raleigh there behind the apartment, the townhome we were staying in, and I had a rough session, just angry with the Lord, really. Not proud of it. It's the way it is. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I will briefly, because when I walked back in the house, it was 4:12 in the morning. In the townhouse. And I hadn't slept, and it was just abominable. Just an awful night. I didn't think I'd ever see the morning come. Knowing that I'd never sleep, I fired up my laptop, and I just wanted to see if there were any emails that had come in. And there was an email from a missionary. Did you know he lived and died, and we never met? I knew his second wife. She had actually been raised maybe 20 miles from where I grew up. And I knew her, but I had never met this missionary or his first wife who had died of cancer. And I came in and I fired up the email and I saw this email address and I didn't recognize it. And so I went down to the bottom and I thought, wow, this man and I have never said a word to each other in our lives, either in reality or on the phone or on the internet, anything. And this is what I read. Dear Brother Alan, you and I know of each other. We probably don't know each other, but you know my current wife. And he named her. He said, I just don't have a clue whether this will help you at all. But he said, I'm sitting thinking of you because I remember a night when I had been told, and he named his first wife, that she probably only had a couple of weeks to live. And he said, I went out, and I won't even tell you where it was. You'd know it right away if I did. He said, there was a city park in our city. And he said, and I went into the city park. And he said, I'll never forget it. He said, it was 4:12 in the morning. And I screamed at God. And I said, so this is the thanks I get for a lifetime of serving the Lord. I couldn't believe it. He said, I know you'll never feel that way, but I did. He had written it when I was in the woods. And he said, so I'm just writing this to you, my dear brother, in case it ever comes to this. I had to have what I call to this day a Gethsemane experience. He said, I had to break and I had to get on my knees and say, Lord, it's the hardest thing I'll ever say, but not my will. Yours be done. And I broke, totally broke. Never even turned the laptop or the lights off. Just went upstairs in the townhouse, fell by the bed, apologized to the Lord, told him I had to admit what he knew very well, that I was just an idiot. And I said, this is the hardest thing I've ever asked, but not my will. Yours be done. And I went from the worst night of my life to sleeping like a baby in seconds because the peace of God took over. It is an unbelievable supernatural thing. Yes, there were hard times after, and everybody has them. But it's not until you need it at times that it comes. And when you do need it, and the more you need it, that's when God comes, and that's when He gives more. He gives us what we need. And sometimes it's only back with the benefit of hindsight, looking years down the road back at something, and you say, wow, the peace of God, it's an incredible thing. And in Ephesians 2:14, the God of peace came near. What a miracle this is. The God of peace came near. He is our peace, who has made both one. If you were with us earlier, I talked about the two absolutely diametrically polar opposite schools of thought. The Gentiles, who had nothing to stand for because they had nothing. And the very rigid religious system called Judaism. And there's this wall of division. And both of them have a ceiling of division, of not being able to know God. It's a helpless situation. And in Ephesians 2 we read, He is our peace, who hath made both one. Yes, Jew and Gentile. That's not what he means here. Who hath made both one. The holiness of God, which is indescribable. The unholiness of humanity, which is almost indescribable. He has made both one. He shattered that middle wall that divided us. Shattered it. It was pictured at the moment he cried finished by the veil of the temple rent in twain. Where? From bottom to top? No, from top to bottom. It was done by God to signify that from him onward on down, he was 100% satisfied in the vicarious and atoning death of Christ. It was finished. It's done. And that thing that divided, that veil that separated the holiest place from the everyday people, is now wide open. All in the person of Christ. He is our peace. He's broken down this barrier of sin. It's a great progression, really. It is peace with God. It's because the God of peace came near to give us the peace of God, which gives us the inner peace with God. And if you don't have that today, you can. Senator John McCain died last evening. I met him. Sorry, sound like I'm a name dropper, but I've gotten to meet him. I guess the only thing really that I've always remembered from that meeting is he's one of those people that never looked you in the eye when he was shaking your hand. He's always looking for the next person. And that bothered me a little bit. Frankly, at times his politics bothered me a whole lot more than a little bit. But he's gone now. And I say I honor him for his service. I do so because I have to. And what he went through for nearly 6 years, no human being should ever have to endure. And when you were getting to meet Senator McCain, one of his aides would come to you and say, "Hold your hand low. Hold your hand low." And so you shook hands with him like this, because the dear man's arms and shoulders had been broken so many times in North Vietnamese captivity that he couldn't raise his arms. Someone would come up and they would say, "Hold your hand low. Hold your hand low." And they would go down the line and you would hold your hand and he would do his best to raise up and shake hands with you. And when his hand actually shook yours, you wondered if you had bones left. And I respected that. His wife, you probably know, the heiress to the largest alcoholic beverage distribution company in the West. She's worth in nine figures, they say. That's over $100 million. I don't think we have five people here today worth that kind of money. Wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. Powerful man. And he died. Now what? It's terrible, the things you remember. I remember listening to him speak, and I remember all the curse words. That's what I remember. And I remember a joke that I wish I hadn't heard. I have no clue where he is. None of us ever have a clue what has taken place at the end of someone's life. I just say I hope and pray he accepted Christ. I hope and pray he did. So last night when the news broke, crazy, we were sitting in our easy chairs, our recliners, Donna and me, big day yesterday, and just kind of relaxing, and I heard my iPad beside me beep. And that beep, there's two different beeps. And one of them is either WMBF News Alert and the other one's a Fox News Alert. And about 5 seconds apart, I heard the two different beeps. I thought, that's strange. Senator John McCain dead at 81. Both of them. All I could think of is, and now what? The peace of God or the absence of peace? Because the peace of God is only going to be available for eternity to those who have accepted Christ as personal Savior. Have you? God is God and we are not. He's the Creator. We're just the created. He gets to write the rules, and He has. And He also gets to enforce them. We are only allowed to obey them or disobey them. And His way is His way. We must understand, I am a sinner. We must repent from sin. Repentance is entirely scriptural. Webster says it's to feel remorse or regret for what one has or hasn't done. All right, true. I've done a lot of things in my life that to this moment I wish I hadn't, and I still feel rotten about them. But it's deeper than that. Because scriptural repentance is a desire to make a U-turn. To say, I'm done with this. You know, I need a new direction. At which point we must say, Lord Jesus, I trust You. I need You to forgive me of my sins. I accept You as my Savior. He will. He will. He has already today. And He will all over the world. And everybody who's been saved can remember what it was like to come from conviction of sin to that first moment of the blast of the peace of God. I didn't know until 40 minutes ago that Mitch and Sharon have only been saved for 18 years. That's unbelievable. Mitch, you're a trophy of grace. Not everybody gets saved at 70. And that's just... And it's am I wrong? The blast of the peace of God? That first thing, awesome. And for me, what it meant was, I'll never be in hell. That's as far as I got for months. And I'm still as excited right to this moment that I'm never going to be in hell. Peace of God. Therefore, we read in Romans 1 as we close, therefore, having been, that's the tense, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure, that a justification is a declaration of righteousness. I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. I know some of you and some here I've known for many, many, many years. And I know the character of your life and I know what makes you tick. And I won't do it, but I could have you stand up today and I would say there is what I believe is a righteous person. There is a person who not only has a right standing before God, there is a person and the tenor of their life has been to serve God to the best of their ability. I believe they are a righteous person, and today I honor them for it. It may embarrass them a little bit, may make them feel warm and fuzzy for 20 seconds. The bottom line is that my declaration of anybody else's righteousness and 69 cents will buy you a senior's coffee at McDonald's is about what it's worth. But when the God of the universe says, I see you through the prism of the shed blood of my Son. And I declare you righteous. We go with the thrill of that, don't we? We have peace with God. All of it through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Mr. TV pundit, is it reasonable to honestly think that we should have a right to expect to live in peace in a very unpeaceful world? I say, yep, it is. The peace of God can be with us because the God of peace came near. And He is our peace, who's made both one and broken down that wall that divides. The wicked have no expectation of it. We have the guarantee of it. May God thrill our hearts as we face another uncertain week for His glory and our good. Thank you, Father, today for the peace of God. What a thrill. We're thankful, Father, for the enormous cost that we might have peace. If there is someone here today and never had that moment in their life when they accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, Father, we just humbly pray for the sake and all glory for Your Son, that a work for eternity will be begun or deepened, maybe even brought to completion today. For the eternal good of someone who came here out of Christ, but for the eternal good of them as they could leave in Christ. And so we pray, our Father, for Thy word and just ask that it might make the inroads so that we will be transformed from those who listen to then those who do. If there are some Christians here today, Father, that don't know a lot of peace, grant that today they may be flooded with it. This is our prayer. Part us now with Your blessings, we ask. We give our grateful thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.